2015, an elite DFS Army Commando unit formed to bring high-level DFS strategy to the masses. Today, hated by DFS sharks and lineup sellers alike, they continue their quest to turn Joe into DFS pro.
Everybody, this is your DFS Army Daily Dispatch, brought to you by DFSArmy.com, and we are coming to you special live because I have the Commander-in-Chief, Kevin, the Fantasy Football Geek, with me. How you doing tonight, Kevin?
All right, Keith, how are you, man?
Oh, I am doing absolutely fantastic. Sweating some baseball lineups, talking fantasy football with you. I mean, I can't complain at all.
That is a good day. Anytime I'm talking fantasy football, it's a good day.
Well, we better get used to it because the All-Star break has hit for MLB. We're in the second half, quote-unquote, of the season. And you know what they say about fantasy football. You start your research in August, and you've already pretty much lost. So we are going to start producing a massive amount of fantasy football content starting now. And take you all the way through the playoffs, and it starts right here, right now. This is going to be our season-long introduction for drafts, kind of exactly where we stand, how we're ranking things. I've got a bunch of questions I'm going to fire at Kevin here, and it is going to be a fantastic night of debauchery and great information.
Yes. Obviously, it's July, and the juices are flowing. People are starting to get prepped for their season-long leagues, and I figured, you know, yeah, let's get a little bit of season-long content going. Let's talk some fantasy draft. Let's rank some players. I mean, this is what I do anyway, so I love talking about this stuff. And, you know, obviously, I put together an article on the site recently talking about strategies for 12-team snake drafts. I always look at PPR strategies, and I think we're going to do a little bit of talking about that today and kind of go over what we put together with these rankings, and more importantly, strategies for how to approach your draft and dominate like I do.
Yep, absolutely. That's always the goal every single season, to come out profitable, to win your leagues, to dominate. And it's extremely interesting because there's some strategies that I probably don't agree with as far as what's being kind of thrown out there, you know. And we'll go into that a little bit more. And I'm sure you have some great thoughts with it. But these are ways that we get ahead, and these are the things that are brought to you here at the DFS Army. You know, we've mainly been focusing on a lot of DFS content and stuff like that. But when it comes to fantasy football, because it's king, we are definitely going to be able to help you through your season-long drafts as well. So let's get started. Let's get to it. The first thing I want to do is kind of go over the ADP and the projection sheet that you posted today. Kind of give us a breakdown of exactly what that is and how it reads, because I think it's extremely and vitally important in order for you to have success this season.
Absolutely. All right. So the starting point is this, and this is how I start every single draft and how I look at the draft for season-long fantasy purposes. I always start with ADP. I want to know, what is the crowd doing, right? So initially, when I put together these two charts, one being my personal notes and the other one being projections and a bunch of different statistical categories that we'll go over in a second, just know that they are sorted by ADP, because much like in daily, where I'm looking for value in terms of cheaper players that I think will go off, in season long, what I'm looking for during my draft is discrepancies between the ADP and where I'm valuing particular players. So ADP is average draft position. Ours are calculated. Now, obviously, it's July, and these will change. So this is an early thing, but ours are calculated based on taking data from a bunch of the different season-long fantasy drafting websites, and they're all compiled together so we can get a general average where people are being drafted. And so that's your ADP number. I want to cover a couple of the different stats that we have on the sheet as well. One of the most important ones is drop-off. So what is drop-off? When you look at the total projected points for a player, and then you look at the next player in their same position, how many fewer points does that player score? That's called the drop-off. So when you're snake drafting, which you're really like, if you're choosing between two players, one with a drop-off of, you know, 4 or 3 points versus another one with a drop-off of 30 or 40 points, you want to grab the one with the biggest drop-off number, because in essence, what that's telling you is that position gets much weaker, much faster. You know, it's part of the reason why sharp players don't take quarterbacks very early. Drop-offs tend to be much smaller with quarterbacks. And as a matter of fact, even the drop-off for the first quarterback to the 15th isn't that big relative right. to other positions. So you want to look for scarcity of resources as a big, you know, driver of how you're going to strategize and execute your draft. So that's a big thing. The other number that we're looking at in this initial stat sheet that I put together, obviously you have your position ranks, which is specific to that position. So wide receiver 1, wide receiver 2, wide receiver 3, that kind of thing. And then there's an interesting number called value over average or
return.
VOR rank. And what that's doing, value over a regular player. So basically what that did is it takes the average score based on the projections for that position of starters, and then it ranks them in terms of how much value they're giving you above the average score. So it's similar to drop off in a sense that you're basically looking at the VOR, which is the value over the regular player or average player in that position. So like, even looking at the first one, an average wide receiver that's starting in fantasy football, meaning one of the 36 wide receivers that will make their way, Antonio Brown will score 180 points more than that person, which is great.
Right. And for my baseball guys and for those people that know what the difference is for baseball, this would be accumulative to the same type of number as what they call WAR, which is wins over replacement, which is basically, you know, the average player and then how much better this player is compared to the average player, correct?
Exactly. Like, okay. It's cool. So, yes, I don't know it from MLB, but yes, it's exactly that. So basically, it takes your average player at that position that is a starter on somebody's fantasy team, and it says right. how much better is it? And I call it the studliness factor. Really do.
So if we just go and we sort by the quote-unquote studliness factor for this season going into this league, your top five are as follows: Antonio Brown, Julio Jones, Le'Veon Bell, Odell Beckham, and DeAndre Hopkins. And the big thing that kind of stands out to me is the fact that, you know, four out of five are wide receivers, you know, and you hear a lot of the so-called quote-unquote experts around the fantasy community right now absolutely just touting the zero RB strategy. And I want to get your takes on that, because I don't agree with it. If that's how your draft ends up going because of who's available and where you are, I could see it being a viable strategy. But to have a blanket strategy going into your draft because of how people are touting it, I think that's wrong to kind of have a set in stone strategy like that.
Absolutely.
Wouldn't you agree?
Absolutely. It's just in general, you have to be flexible in the draft. You have to go in. The strategy going into a draft should be grab the best value with every pick, regardless of zero RB. Now, zero RB makes sense in some ways in that, you know, the wide receivers are scoring a lot more and, you know, so they're putting up more points and you don't need, especially with PPR today, most people aren't playing in standard leagues anymore. And if you are, you really shouldn't be. Do PPR. That's what's better. But most people are playing that. So the wide receiver position becomes more important. But that said, no, you should never go into any draft with a set in stone mindset of I'm going to do zero RB or I'm going to do this. You have to let it play itself out. And, you know, I've kind of looked at this draft and done a bunch of mocks and I've been running through it and there are some solid running back. You can get some solid running backs in that fourth, fifth, and sixth round. So, yeah, it can work, but depending on how things fall, you just got to play it the best way that you can. Like, I'm ranking, for example, Le'Veon Bell as my number one player in this draft, far and away. So, no matter where I am in the first round, if Le'Veon Bell is available, I don't care if I'm picking first, second, third, fourth, wherever, I'm taking him. And the reason being, the drop-off between Bell and the next best player at his position, which is Todd Gurley, is 45 fantasy points. Mm-hmm. That's a lot of points.
Yep, and that's one of the columns that we have in this as well, is the fact that, you know, we've got that quote-unquote drop off where, you know, the predictions are going and you've got the difference between, you know, what Le'Veon Bell is expected to return and what the next highest, which would be, like you said, Todd Gurley is expected to return, just throughout the season. And that makes a huge difference. And like you said, you're in the early rounds, if you're not position filling, you're goal is to get the best value. And I think that's something that, especially in a lot of these home leagues and stuff like that, that a lot of our guys play in, that's something that's overlooked because you end up getting, you know, somebody that just they'll pick, let's just go, somebody will be picking number two overall and they'll go with, Rob Gronkowski, you know. And it totally just throws everything for a loop because now all of a sudden you're sitting there and say you're in the fifth or sixth spot with another player that's of really good value that you were not expecting to see there.
Exactly. You have to be ready for people to do stupid shit.
I was trying to do it in a nice way and you just bluntly, plain put it out there, and
listen,
I love it.
I have the Twitter feed, and you know, people tell me what's going on, and they ask me questions, and so I know people do stupid shit because they're asking me stupid questions a lot of the times. Or people tell me, friends of mine will be like, "Well, in my league, everybody grabs quarterbacks early. Aaron Rodgers will be gone in the first round because that's how my league works." I said, "I wish I was in your league. I would take all of your money. It's very easy for me to take all of your money. All you have to do is not be stupid." Just like in daily fantasy, with daily fantasy football, anything. The first thing, the first rule is, let's not be stupid. The second, hey, listen, you could be smart, but first thing is, let's not be stupid, and don't do stupid things, and you'll do well. Don't take Rob Gronkowski number two, and you'll do well. Let's see here. So kind of since we talk about a little bit about early and obviously there are sleepers and some late stuff and we'll go over some of those too. I've identified some kind of bench players and things like that in my notes. But what I wanted to talk about a little bit was like early draft strategy versus a late draft strategy.
Yep.
So,
and guys, we're going to keep this all, we're going to keep reminding you, we're going to keep this all in a 12 team, full point PPR league, so you guys know. Let's start off with let's start off with it easy. If you're sitting there and you're say drafting sixth, okay, to where every 11 picks is one of your picks, so you've got a nice even supply of talent, mind you, in order to draft from. Okay, if I were to go and just go by the ADP here, and I've totally messed it up as I've started.
No, you've been sorting. Yeah,
as I've been sorting and stuff, I've got nulls all over the place now. If I go by my ADP and I'm drafting six, it looks like I'm gonna. If I'm drafting with smart players, you know, like say our mod league this year, and see, I think this is where this puts you at a disadvantage this year going into this year, except because in our season long mod league. Now you're giving out all your information, so we know what you're going to do. But if I'm drafting six with smart players, it looks like I'm going to end up with, you know, a Todd Gurley, DeAndre Hopkins. Or those should be my two choices right there.
Yeah. Yeah.
Or an AJ Green.
Yeah, even David Johnson I put in the mix there, in that area. So. Listen, in my perfect world, that's sort of a mid-level draft pick. Actually, it's a good spot for looking for someone from that top four to fall, just in case it happens. Not saying it will, but I mean, the first thing is, I'm hoping one of these other guys fall. You know, Julio makes it to six, or somehow.
You're hoping somebody beats themselves and becomes stupid.
Yeah, I mean, you're hoping for that. Now, assuming that doesn't happen, so. You know, here we're going to make a choice between, again, a Hopkins, a Gurley, and AJ Green. I like all three of these guys. I don't have any problem. None of them are my favorites. You know, if you look at my notes, none of those guys are really highlighted for me. I don't love the second half of the first round as much as I do the first four guys. I'm really hoping for a top four pick this year, to be quite honest. But, you know, if I had to, so let's say I'm taking a Todd Gurley there. Gurley looks like he has no competition on his team. I do have mild concerns about his usage in the passing game and mild concerns about the very, very stout run defenses that tend to show up in the NFC West. So, you know, I'm not going crazy. I might go DeAndre Hopkins over Gurley just because, you know, Hopkins is a beast. Right. I'm not worried about Brock Osweiler as his quarterback. I think that's an improvement over whatever he had last year. So
the revolving door.
I mean, it was terrible, and he had an incredible season.
Yeah.
Now they have a running game. It should ease things up a little bit. Last season they didn't. So I like DeAndre Hopkins with that six pick, but knowing, all right, here I started off with a wide receiver. Now what? Right.
Exactly. Now you're into the second round. It's 11 picks later. You know, you're looking at pick, what would
18,
it be?
Right. We're at 18. I have Hopkins on my team. I'm considering now my top play at this spot would be obviously, again, if an Allen Robinson or Lamar Miller falls, assuming they don't, and going by the ADP strict here, I'm grabbing, you know, somewhere between either probably a Keenan Allen or maybe a Brandon Marshall.
Yeah. I want to ask you about one guy here because you mentioned Keenan Allen and he's got an ADP of almost 16. It's 15.86, but right above it is Jordy Nelson at 15.38. And we saw what this Packers offense was without the ability of Jordy Nelson to stretch the field downfield. Would you give him a consideration if he fell there?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I think I like Keenan a little bit better than Jordy, but okay. I love Jordy Nelson. I mean, Jordy's a beast. He's a big play wide receiver. 2 years ago on FanDuel, when they sent my end of year report, they're like Jordy Nelson was your most used player of the season, 39% of your lineup. So clearly,
yeah,
I like him.
Interested to see what our end of the year reports come this year.
So I've got two wide receivers now. I'm not big on Jamaal Charles. I have him in red on my sheet. I'm feeling a little RBBC-ish with him. He's getting older. He should be fine. He could be a steal in the second round. But for whatever reason, you know, with Charkendrick West and Ward, and I think they're going to not give him the workload that he has gotten in the past. So,
but here's my question. Is in a full-point PPR with his ability to catch balls out of the backfield?
It's good. He's fine. I mean, I'm not saying don't take him. I'm just thinking he's fine. I mean, he's a pass-catching running back. He just got some age. He had a big injury. You know, if he drops, I'm not taking him in the second round. If he's dropping to that a little bit further down, then
if he's there for you in the third round, you're going
to
jump all
over. Yeah, in the 24 to 28 range, yes. But at this point, with Alshon Jeffrey and Brandon Marshall, Keenan Allen on the board, even Mike Evans, I'm taking one of those other guys over Jamaal Charles. I'm avoiding a couple of names here in this end of the second round, names like Demaryius Thomas, Brandon Cooks, Mark Ingram, not guys that are really – Doug Martin. What is he doing?
Doug
I don't know
Martin.
Why he's there. Eddie Lacy. I don't like these guys in those spots. So,
although – Eddie Lacy has supposedly lost 30 pounds.
Yeah, you know, that's what they said about Trent Richardson. You know, remember Trent Richardson coming into a season a couple of years ago? Like, he's a little thin now, and he's good. No. Now, Eddie Lacy could be fine, but I've noticed that team tends to run a two running back system where they'll bring in Lacy for a series, and then they bring in Starks for a series. So that's just not where I'm looking in the second round. I don't want that kind of a guy. I want a guy who's going to beast like Brandon Marshall and get 17 targets a game.
So, and that's if he has and that's a quarterback situation that you have to pay attention to because Fitzpatrick still is unsigned.
I'm going with the assumption that he'll be signed.
I think that's where most people are going on that one.
Obviously, things change. Like, in my notes here, I have to change it, but, like, I had a – Miami's Ajayi. That's a guy I really liked a lot. He had no real competition.
Until today.
And then they sign Arian Foster. Stuff happens. You got to be ready to pivot. But, you know, before they signed Arian Foster, he was looking really good. With Arian Foster, he'll probably drop, and he's the kind of guy that you want for your bench, but you can't rely on him as one of your starters. So
okay, let's go to the third round, and we're picking about pick 30 or so.
So
we've got two wide receivers that we've drafted. We've come out the first two gates or the first two rounds and drafted two pretty much playmaking and could be dominant wide receivers. Where are we looking in the third round as far as this strategy? Because I think this is where it gets interesting. Because we have a lot of interesting names around this spot.
Absolutely. So this is where, for me, I'm pivoting over to running back. Because there's a running back that I like that's still sitting around, I think undervalued in Matt Forte. LeSean McCoy is available as well. I'm not as high on him in this range. And the other guy I like a lot in this sort of general vicinity is Jordan Reed. Now, Reed is a concussion risk. A major concussion risk. So if you're taking him at the end of the third round, know that. But when this guy's healthy, he is just a beast. You know, this is why you don't need to take Gronk in the first round, because you can get a Jordan Reed at the end of the third, early fourth round. Might as well. So
let me ask you, you said that you're not high on LeSean McCoy. Can you explain a little bit? Because Carlos Williams has that 35 pounds of baby weight. He's been suspended for 4 games for violating the lead substance abuse policy. I mean, it doesn't seem like he has a lot of competition about getting the carries.
I'm more of the mind that he just has not done it for 2 years in a row, and he just hasn't done it. So, you know, he could be a C.J. Spiller situation where he just stopped being good. I don't know. But he had his chance last season healthy, and really didn't do anything. So I feel like I'm not ready to ride the coattails of 3 years ago with McCoy. Mm-hmm. I don't hate him, but he's really just not a guy that I'm going to be drafting. I don't feel confident in him. I like Forte better. Forte is going to get a lot of looks in the Jets offense. Part of the thing with Ivory and the whole Bilal Powell thing was Ivory wasn't a pass catcher, so they bring in Powell on third down, and I still think Powell will have a role, but Forte is a pass catching running back. I mean, that's what he does. So I don't know. I think he's going to get more work than maybe people think. You know, I have a little bit of concern about his age, but I mean, he hasn't really shown much as far as like reason for concern.
Yeah, I think most of the games that he missed last year, I think it was not only, you know, the age, but the Bears had nothing invested. They knew they weren't going to bring him back, and they wanted to see what they could get or they had in their backfield at the time. And so I think Matt Forte goes to a great situation with your New York Jets at Jets.
He's in a good spot. Again, everybody is looking at what Ivory did last season and kind of going, well, you know, he didn't really put up a ton of points. Ivory was hurt a lot, but more so, he was not a pass catcher. When they went into their hurry up, when they went into their third down sort of 2 minute offense, Ivory wasn't on the field, and the Jets are behind a lot, so you know they're in that offense a lot. And it's a high point scoring for the running back. You want running backs who are getting those. Like, I love check down yardage. It's the best. So
yeah, because you get the point for the simple completion and then plus everything else.
Yeah, I mean, a regular running back needs to run 10 yards, and that's two touches, two good touches. A running back that catches a 10-yard pass, that's 2 points. The other running backs, he's got to get 20 yards rushing to get that. So it's really, really – better to have these guys that the teams throw to.
Yes.
A couple of guys like in this area, because I'm just kind of going through the notes here, and I like Reed. You got to like Kelvin Benjamin.
Oh, I love Kelvin Benjamin for a bounce back this year.
Yeah, everybody forgot about him.
Yep.
The Carolina offense.
When he
was going
on the field 2 years ago, it was amazing.
He's not even that good. I mean, the reality was they just kept targeting him. He's not the greatest player.
End zone targets,
yes.
Brother.
So,
he got a ton of them.
He gets the red zone targets. Newton is exponentially better than he was two years ago.
He made a huge, huge jump last year in his passing accuracy, especially downfield.
It's ridiculous. All I'm saying to people, and this is one of the themes of the draft, there's a couple teams. I want exposure to Carolina's offense. I want exposure to offenses that are awesome. Carolina is one of them. Get me exposure there. I want exposure to Seattle's offense. They're really good now. You know, these
– and we'll get into them here in just a moment.
I mean, there's a very undervalued wide receiver from – you know, if you look
– which is unbelievable, especially considering what he did at the end of last year.
Yes, but people are still kind of looking at Seattle as this offense that comes on late in the season and – Baldwin maybe was just sort of a fluke, and maybe they'll go back to the run heavy. I don't think that's going to happen. I think it's going to be – they've seen what they do well, and they do high-flying offense really well. Russell Wilson is the man, and Doug Baldwin is not just a product of the system. He's actually, I think, pretty good as a wide receiver. So that's a guy.
Not only that, but they got that little slot guy. His name escapes
Tyler
me right
Lockett.
Now.
He's very good.
Tyler Lockett.
He's very Kansas. Good. He's going to be a bench player on team.
Yep. Jimmy Graham should be healthy and back in the mix and fold another year under that offense.
I'm not convinced on Jimmy Graham, by the way. I'm going to tell you that he has that same injury that Victor Cruz had, and I'm not.
Oh, I thought it was just his ACL.
No.
That was his full
torn patella or whatever his injury was. It was the worst kind of injury. I'm not expecting him to come back, which is even more reason why I like guys like Baldwin and even Tyler Lockett as a WR4 and maybe you know whoever they're running Rawls, I guess at running back maybe. potentially. But yeah, these guys will see plenty of targets. I don't see Jimmy Graham. I certainly wouldn't be drafting Jimmy Graham this year.
Yeah, you say we talked about that, and I thought it was his ACL, so that's my fault. RotoWorld has basically said that it was a patella tendon repair, and it's the most difficult surgery for an NFL player to return from.
Yeah, it's the kind of injury. Plus, Graham might have been I am of the mind that, I mean, his chemistry with the team was terrible last year, honestly, they played shitty when he was on the field. It does not hurt the Seattle offense to not have him. He didn't fit in well, and he may have been a product of just the new
Wilson to Wilson, baby.
Yeah, he could have been. Is Wilson another? See the other
Luke Wilson.
Yeah, Luke Wilson. I played him at $2,000 on DraftKings on occasion.
Yeah, exactly. But
I think that Graham might have been a bit of a product of just the Drew Brees, Sean Payton kind of system for tight ends. Because when you see Ben Watson, a 35-year-old journeyman, putting up massive numbers last season, you know.
And you know who the Saints ended up getting.
Yeah, they got Colby Fleener, who's a big, big sleeper this year. I mean, he's a guy you want. He is a startable tight end that you will draft.
Absolutely.
As your TE1, you know, in the second half of the tight end position pool. So, you know, he's a guy that people are going to draft as a starter, and rightfully so. He's going to be good. Fleener's okay. You know?
Yep.
He's probably better than Watson as a wide receiver. So
exactly. A couple running backs I want to ask you about here, because their situations are very, very interesting, considering retired players, new head coaches, new offensive schemes coming in. The first one is Carlos Hyde. Chip Kelly comes over from Philadelphia, goes into San Francisco, and now they're going to be running that high-flying DFS darling offense that everybody wants. But the way that I view Carlos Hyde, and you can tell me if I'm off base on this, is kind of like the DeMarco Murray type. He's the north and south runner. He likes to break the tackles, kind of punish you a little bit, and he gets stronger as the game goes. And we saw what DeMarco Murray was able to do in that Chip Kelly offense, which wasn't that much because of the style of running that he employs. And the style of running that Chip Kelly likes is more of that slasher, the one cut and get up and go.
Whole thing's strange.
And
last year,
that?
I was really thrown off by how badly DeMarco Murray wound up being and doing with the Eagles. I'm reserving judgment on Carlos Hyde. And the reason being, we don't really know what he is. I mean, is he a big, I don't know. He only played for a few games last year before he got hurt. And they were playing in a different system.
But those were some amazing games.
he played well. He played well for a few games. But it was also in a system that just did not throw to running backs. It was not
right.
They didn't have checkdowns. Like, Kaepernick never checked down to Gore. He never threw it to him. So I don't know if that was the system that just didn't throw to the running back. And now you have Chip Kelly, who kind of runs something different. I am reserving judgment on Carlos Hyde until I see some preseason sample. I need to see a little bit of what they're going to do. I'm a little nervous about him as far as like what's going to be. But I mean, if you look where he's going in the draft, it's not like he's being overdrafted. I mean, he's going after Deion Lewis. And I would certainly take Hyde over Deion Lewis. So, and he's going right. I mean, he's right after Thomas Rawls, who I would definitely take ahead of him. You know, there's some guys later on in the draft that I still like maybe a little bit more. Like, I probably like Ryan Matthews. Or I don't know. Actually, I'd probably take Hyde over Matthews. But
there's one guy right there that's really close to Carlos Hyde, and it's C.J. Anderson. Now, with Peyton Manning retiring, and now it's Mark Sanchez as the signal caller for the Denver Broncos, we saw C.J. Anderson, when he got his opportunity late in the season, he was absolutely phenomenal. But the question with him is, can he be that guy for the full season and return that value, or is this somebody that you're going to be worried about? Because that offense is going to change without Peyton Manning under center or Brock Osweiler.
I think it's going to get better. Peyton Manning sucked. I mean, you could not play worse than he played last year. So
right, but he got people in the right position.
He did, but he was terrible, and he couldn't throw, right. and you could focus on the running game. The Broncos are going to run it a ton. Mark Sanchez sucks. So they're not.
So we have Peyton Manning who sucks, and the offense is going to be better with Mark Sanchez.
That's how bad Peyton was. Mark Sanchez is not a starting caliber quarterback in the NFL. He is at the bottom of the barrel of a starting. He's terrible. So the man ran ass head first into someone's ass and knocked himself out and fumbled the football. I don't even know that there's any precedent for a player who could do that. So his butt fumble was the thing of legends. He stinks. But that said, he's better than the 2015 version of Peyton Manning. He will be able to deliver the ball to Demaryius Thomas on the screenplays. Occasionally, there'll be return for pick sixes because Sanchez does love to throw the pick six. But he'll get, you know, he'll be able to at least somewhat threaten. And the defense on Denver is so freaking good that they will be playing with the lead or, you know, they're just going to run it a lot. I don't know that they're going to score a ton. But C.J. Anderson will get his touches. He's going to split carries with Hillman. He's like an RB flex, maybe RB2 at best. You know, his limited upside. So, I mean, if I'm looking at upside, I think Hyde, in this whole area, Hyde probably has more upside than a C.J. Anderson, where Anderson's maybe a little safer. I think Rawls has more upside. I think, like I said, I like Bryan Matthews a lot. I don't know who his competition is in Philadelphia right now.
Darren Sproles.
That's not competition. Darren Sproles is my age.
Yeah, I understand that.
He's the same age as me. I mean,
that's his competition.
You know, like he's the same age as me. I'm old. My knees hurt. I can only imagine what's going on with that guy. So, you know, Sproles is fine, but he gets 3-4 plays a game. He's really a wide receiver. So he's not a threat for the role that Ryan Matthews is going to have. And until, again, I'm waiting for training camp a little bit to see if anything happens. But right now, I think Ryan Matthews is one of the most undervalued names in the draft. I mean, I'm getting him here in the 63rd pick or the fifth round. You know, that's unbelievable. That, you know, he's a starter. You're getting a starting running back. You know, Ryan Matthews could deliver the same fantasy points as guys like Eddie Lacy, who you're taking in the second round. Or those are the situations you want to exploit. So DeMarco Murray is really mysterious if we're talking about the running back position. I have no clue. I mean, if he drops to the point where I'm drafting him, like, with my seventh pick or sixth, I'll take him. Cause
I think it's scary with DeMarco Murray because they have
That rookie, Derrick Henry, behind him.
Derrick Henry from Alabama.
You know what scares me more than Derrick Henry? It's just the fact that Tennessee never produces a quality running back. They just don't.
Not since Eddie George.
Listen, Eddie George was the man, but I mean, you know, I was in high school.
Well, I mean, you can't take it away from the Chris Brown and I'm pulling people out of my butt.
No, they don't produce good running, and it's something about that team that, you know, they just don't produce good running backs. So I don't say good. That's running backs that score a lot of fantasy points. So
fantasy production.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. These guys are all better than me. But, I mean, if they're not scoring points for my team, so I don't trust that team in general. So he's not a guy that I'm like, if he's my RB2, I'm nervous going into the season. Like, ugh, I got Murray.
So, okay, so we're in the middle of our draft here and everything. And obviously, you're going to have people reach for. Let's get into. We've gotten basically we're through four rounds. We've got three wide receivers and a running back. I'm going to go by that little mantra. When do we start looking to take a quarterback? I know I'll go with the best value because I feel like I can pick up a quarterback in the eighth, ninth round and get a good return. Last year I got Carson Palmer, and I feel because that position is so loaded this year, like so deep, I feel you can get a lot of good value out of this this quarterback class. And I'm honestly thinking on some of the ways that I've looked, I'm honestly thinking about waiting until probably close to the 9th or 10th round to grab my quarterback, my first quarterback.
Yeah, I don't have any problem with that. I'll sometimes get all the way through my draft and have a player on my bench before I take a quarterback. So, you know, because you're spot on, there's so many of them, they're all really good. Like, people like the big names. If Cam Newton, this is the first year, even, it's funny, as you look at these ADPs, these people must have been pretty sharp. Like, I guess there's a PPR leagues and ADP, and the people are sharp who are playing it, because Cam is going 41st overall. He's the first quarterback off the board, and he's number 41.
Yep.
That's a sharp
And that's unbelievable to even really think of because of how dominant Cam Newton was last year.
And will be again this year. Like, Cam is the man. So that's what I'm saying. If Cam is in the fourth round, if he dropped to that point, yeah, you could take him. I mean, that you can nobody but Cam is the only player that's worth sort of taking at quarterback, in my mind. You know, any kind of early.
In the top five rounds?
Yeah, really in the top four or five, until my entire team is filled out, basically. So
okay.
The only way I'm taking a quarterback before I have my three wide receivers, my two running backs, and my tight end in place is if Cam just falls to a crazy spot where I'm like, you know what? Wouldn't it be nice to get this guy where the – I mean, what's the drop-off here? Even with Cam – the drop off.
It's only 14.
It's only 14 points. And I think they're undervaluing Cam's potential here a little bit. I think he's going to be better than last year or just as good. And you know, the dude just scores. I mean, he just scores in so many ways. But it's still only 14. And they have number two as Aaron Rodgers. It's Aaron Rodgers. I'm not taking him. Not that he's a bad player. I'm just not taking him.
I think it's going to depend on how – I mean, him and Jordy, it's going to depend on Jordy Nelson for Aaron Rodgers.
He's going to be fine, but, I mean, I can get Andy Dalton in, like, the 12th round.
Oh, God. Here we go.
I mean, I could get Phil Rivers in the 11th round. Yeah,
you can go get Ben Roethlisberger in the freaking 8th round.
Ben is going pretty early this year. I don't actually think he'll be that low.
You don't think so?
Ben looks like the number 3 quarterback off the board, or number 4 after.
I think people are going to go. I think it's going to go Cam, Aaron, Andrew Luck, and then you've got Drew Brees and Russell Wilson are going to be in there too.
Yeah, Luck, you're right. I mean, there's a lot of names. You know what? There's so many guys that, and you're right. You never know where are these. Yeah, here it is. Let's see what his ADP for Ben Roethlisberger. Projections. He's 75. His ADP is 75. So, 12, 29, 48.
50. So you're looking 6th
round.
Yeah,
like 6th round. So I mean, but that's when you're in the 6th round, you've got 3 wide receivers and 2 running backs, and you're kind of like,
right.
All right, well, I can get a tight end here. Like, Ben is going one ahead of Delanie Walker, and one after Tyler Eifert. So it's just in that spot where you're like, all right, I need to start getting some tight ends going. I mean, Travis Kelce.
Right.
You know, all of this this sort of tight end group. When you look at the tight ends, there is a big drop-off numbers, too. You got to watch that. After the first 5 or 6 guys, there's a pretty significant drop. Like, if you didn't get Colby Fleener, which is probably the number 7 tight end by position rank.
Mm-hmm.
Where's my position rank numbers? Damn it. Which one is this?
Position rank right number for Colby Fleener is...
There it is. He's number 6.
6.
Yeah, and then you're going to find, who's number 7? Gary Barnidge, maybe?
Gary Barnidge. Who does it? Who's got Robert Griffin III throwing to him this year.
Yeah. I mean, it's crazy. And then I assume number 8 might be...
Ladarius Green, who is in Pittsburgh.
I kind of like Green, too. I mean, there you go. But he's more of a sleeper. But after Green, it drops really fast. I mean, you're looking at guys like
Julius Thomas is there with Blake Bortles, Zach Ertz with Sam Bradford in a new offense again.
I don't feel good about going into the season with Zach Ertz as my starting tight end. So
I would rather go with Martellus Bennett.
He's terrible. You don't want Martellus Bennett. So
yeah, but he's going to have Jimmy Garoppolo and Tom Brady.
But that's what I'm saying. These guys are not the kind of guys that you want as your starter. So what you want to do is not just when we're talking draft strategy, we do not want to allow the tight end position certainly to get past Ladarius Green. But I wouldn't get past really Delanie Walker.
I want to get one of the top three. I want to get Reed, Olsen, Gronk, Kelsey, or I want to get a guy that I can stream matchups.
Yeah, it's tricky. Like I said, I like to have a good quality tight end. It's tough because when you do take one fairly early, you're giving up on another position that's going to be, you know, lacking on your team. But mm-hmm. I think there are much more you can acquire during the season a starting running back because they get injured all the time. And
right.
So I don't recall a season where I haven't been able to acquire a starting running back or two or three over the course of the season.
I just feel with tight ends, unless you get one of those, and you can even throw Tyler Eifert in there too, unless you get one of those ones that get the yards and the touchdowns, tight end is so touchdown dependent that if I'm not getting one of those top five, like if they go before I feel like is a good value for me and my team, then I would rather get, because like you said, if you're taking a tight end a little bit earlier, that's another position that isn't being taken where it should be or where we value it, yeah. its pick at. And so I can go get one of those guys and keep loading up, and I can start streaming tight ends. I can go to, a Jason Witten in good matchups. I can go get a Charles Clay and stream these two, an Antonio Gates, a Zach Miller, whoever ends up Jordan Cameron.
You're stuck doing that. That is not an ideal situation. I would say what you want is to make sure that you get one of those top seven or eight guys. Simple as that. Don't let him pass you. If the best strategy is if the draft starts going the way of people are grabbing these tight ends, then don't let it get, then just jump on the bandwagon. Get yourself a Delanie Walker. Get yourself a Kobe Fleener. Get yourself a Ladarius Green if you have to. But certainly consider a Jordan Reed. Consider Greg Olsen earlier on because that will give you a major position boost. You don't want to be one of those four or five teams that has a shitty tight end. You don't have to have Gronk, but you don't want to be those ones that are huge disadvantage. Now, it's not as big of a deal depending on the format. Like I've played in multiple flex leagues, with a lot of positions, and you can really sacrifice one position. So you say, screw it, I'm sacrificing tight end. But in a non-flex sort of two RB, three wide receiver, one tight end, you really can't sacrifice any of those spots. So you want to have at least one. I guess Julius Thomas kind of put him as a sleeper. He was hurt all last year, but,
Yeah, and it was his first year with Jacksonville, so when he did get on the field,
yeah.
It took some getting used to him and Blake Bortles and stuff like that. And then, of course, you've got Allen Robinson. They've got a lot of options.
But, they just didn't use Julius Thomas that much. He's dropped down a bit. And I guess, like I said, Zach Ertz if you had to. But those guys are – you're at a disadvantage when you're going into the – season with those kind of guys at the tight end position. So you really do want to try to get one of those top guys. So that would be something I strongly suggest everybody being mindful of when they're drafting. I like to put when I'm drafting, I like to put my players in tiers and by position and just make sure that like I have certain running back too, where the last sort of startable running back goes off the board. If you don't have two, you're screwed. So you want to make sure that as it's getting real close and down to the wire, I mean, obviously it's always a dice roll because the draft, you have to wait, especially if you get one of the end picks like 12 or 1. Now you have a really long wait between your next picks. And, when you're picking six, like this scenario we're kind of going through, it's mm-hmm. less risky because your pick comes up again pretty soon. But when you're picking one, when you're picking 12,
which is what we're about to do right now.
Yeah, there's a huge gap, and so you have to basically I don't like the negative to picking there is you have to reach sometimes for players a little bit before where they're supposed to be drafted because you're not getting another shot for a while.
You have to make sure you get your guys.
Yeah.
So you have to and that's what we're going to start on that one. Now we're going to be in the top one or two picks of the draft, okay? And I felt like for me when I've got one of the top two picks, I love looking at the ADPs, but I have to readjust them. And I have to do what you said. I have to tier them and I have to rank them based on what my draft position is for that draft. And that's going to cause me to have to reach for if I really, really, really want a guy, and it's going to cause me to have to reach, you know. So we're picking, let's say we're picking number one overall.
Yeah. I mean, I'm taking
your
Le'Veon
pick
Bell.
Is
Le'Veon,
Le'Veon Bell.
Every time.
Okay.
One, two, three. No matter what, I'm taking Le'Veon Bell if he's available. And again, that changes your whole strategy because
yep.
if you're fortunate enough to have a pick, if you're fortunate enough to get Le'Veon Bell with your first pick, right? Now you can. We're going to use our. Let's assume that we started with that number one. So our 2-3 is coming up. You know, in the 20s.
24, 25 would be our next
24, case. 25 areas. So looking at who's available. At this point, I'm trying to get a couple of wide receivers that are high-quality wide receivers that are still on the board, or you're hoping at least a couple of them be around. So Brandon Marshall mm-hmm. is floating in that area. I don't like yep. Demaryius Thomas, but T.Y. Hilton is in that range, who I think will bounce back this year. You have Julian Edelman, a PPR beast. I have no problem reaching for him a little bit.
And that was what I was going to ask you because we talked about Kelvin Benjamin, who we really, really like, and we said that we want to get exposure to that Carolina offense. If we don't pick Kelvin Benjamin with one of these two picks, he's not going to be there the next time that we come back around.
Yeah.
So would you reach here?
I'm not sure I'd take Benjamin there, but I do. I would take Edelman. And it's just because Edelman is such a consistent point scorer in a PPR league, the Patriots haven't really brought in any competition for targets with him. And so he put up huge numbers. He had injuries last year. People don't realize, like, he only played, I think, 10 of the games last season. And he had huge numbers when he was in there. So, I mean, this guy will get you in a PPR league 17, 18 points. Every single week. I like that sort of consistency. Even if he's not like going to do a Julio Jones and put up a 40 one week, he's going to give you consistent points from the position. So I have no problem reaching for him. You know, I'm looking for guys who dropped and maybe Amari Cooper, maybe Brandon Marshall, you know, in that spot. Jarvis Landry's there. I might not be as excited about him. It's a little too soon for a Doug Baldwin reach. I think if I was taken here, I'm kind of hoping that maybe Baldwin falls to me in my next turn.
Okay.
I might even consider the reach, but but basically, what I want to do here is get two quality wide receivers. Maybe Alshon Jeffrey is available there. You know, if Alshon's around, I'm taking him. If Evans is around, and one of these guys is going to drop. And so, you know, I just want to take whichever quality wide receivers fall to that 23, 24, 25 area. Just get on them and start your draft off with Bell and two quality WR1 types. Again, mm-hmm. Alshon, Brandon Marshall, T.Y. Hilton, whoever it is, you get two of those guys, Kelvin Benjamin, Julian Edelman, even, I don't know about, it's hard to take Randall Cobb after how bad he was last year. But
do you think that the addition of Jordy Nelson back in that offense is going to help him?
I mean, conceptually, it should.
Okay. What about Jeremy Maclin? We saw how his season ended last year. His ADP is right around that 40 range, right around Jordan Reed, Deion Lewis. I mean, we've seen he had a slow start to the season last year. And, you know, he – this is a guy that we have to address the elephant in the room. He's had some injury problems for a couple years. But when he's on the field and he's connecting with Alex Smith, who by all stretch is a not a great quarterback, but he's a very, very good serviceable quarterback that can get his wide receivers the ball. What are you kind of thinking about Jeremy Maclin here?
The most telling game last season for me when I, you know, in judging Maclin was, I believe, I think the Chiefs were playing the Chargers in San mm-hmm. Diego, and they put up like a 40 burger, some crazy point total on them. And, you know, Maclin had like 3 fantasy points, and he was playing the whole game. And that's sort of indicative. Maclin will have big games, but he's a very up and down player. He'll give you games with the 5 points, 2 receptions for 30 yards. And it's just that offense that doesn't throw the ball very much. And sometimes, you know, they just kind of don't connect and a few times and they're running it a ton and they're throwing it to Charles and, you know, and they're hitting Kelsey, even Kelsey for the same reason. That offense just does not throw enough for me to really want to get a lot of exposure to it. Maclin feels like a GPP play to me in daily fantasy. And
oh, yeah, absolutely.
You know, and therefore, I don't really want a guy like that on my season-long team when there are other more consistent players available. This, like Maclin at 39 ADP versus Doug Baldwin at 46. I mean, I'm taking Baldwin over Maclin.
I agree. Two more guys that are going to be there around the turn that I think are very, very interesting. You know, we've got Le'Veon Bell as our number one running back. Matt Jones is very interesting to me there in Washington.
He's coming around on your next turn after. Matt Jones is interesting. He's an interesting player. I mean, he's a starter. He can catch. He had some fumble issues. I mean, he's a guy that, again, the zero RB people are going to use him. So this is in this. I took Le'Veon Bell in the first round scenario, right? So then we got your two guys, two wide receivers, Alshon Jeffery, Brandon Marshall from that group, Edelman. And then we moved down to the whole to the next two. We looked at Baldwin, and you know maybe I'm going to take a tight end with that second one. So maybe I'm looking at Reed if he's around, or Olsen, or you know what tight end is floating around, Delaney Walker type guy.
I think your two options at tight end there might be Reed and Greg Olsen. I think it might be a little bit of a reach on Delaney Walker.
Yeah,
Delaney Walker looks like you could probably get him on the next turn.
There we go. But I mean, coming back to what you were saying with Jones, he's in a group of running backs. Mm-hmm. That, you know, in an area where you see, again, Ryan Matthews, Jay Ajayi, who will drop dramatically. So I'm going to kind of negate that. I loved Ajayi until they signed Foster, and now I don't like him this season. But me and Matt Jones, Ryan Matthews, these are guys you're going to have. I like both of them. I would take a chance on them at their ADP, their fifth-round ADP. That's where you're getting your the fifth round is where you need that second running back. You've taken one running back, 3 wide receivers, and somewhere between the fifth and sixth round, you're grabbing a tight end and another running back. So if you're
Matt Jones or Danny Woodhead?
I would take Jones over Woodhead.
Matt Jones or DeMarco Murray?
Jones over Murray.
Matt Jones or Duke Johnson? Now, remember, Duke Johnson, he showed some catchability.
I do like him.
He's got Hugh Jackman now running the show there in Cleveland.
I'm still sticking with Jones just because I don't see much competition for Matt Jones for touches in that line. And I want a starter. I want a guy who's not splitting carries. Duke Johnson has a Crowell that he's fully 50-50 splitting with. Now, Johnson puts up bigger numbers. He works the receiving game, but it's still a 50.
I think Johnson's got a bigger upside, but I agree with you on the Matt Jones. One more here, Matt Jones or Jeremy Langford.
Jones. Langford is a highly risky player. He's on my red do not draft list.
Yeah, and the reason I said Jeremy Langford is because a lot of people are just absolutely shredding him because he was, quote-unquote, statistically and efficiently the worst running back in the NFL last year.
I didn't know that. All I know is Jeremy Langford won me $12,000, and it could have been
more,
about $120,000.
Yeah, I think I remember that.
Yeah, if Langford scores from the half-yard line on Monday night, week 9, I believe it was, I'm going to the fantasy football championships. My $18,000 day would have turned into like $180,000 day. So he could not.
Because you had that, and I think it was like 3 or 4 weeks later, I was riding the Lamar Miller wagon, and he had a killer first half, and then Miami just stopped giving him.
And that's classic Lamar Miller, though. That's what Miami did every time.
So
in the same general vicinity, just as I'm looking through my notes, just in this mid-50s level, I loved me some Dante Moncrief this season.
Yep, I was about to ask him about him,
too. He's going to be huge. No competition.
T.Y. Hilton, but they got rid of Colby Fleener, so he doesn't have that double tight end that he has to worry about. And who's the other Indianapolis wide receiver that they had that was
he was they had a rookie that they drafted last year, another little guy like T.Y. Hilton.
Philip Dorsett.
Yeah. They're not competing. He's the possession guy. Like Hilton plays a very different bit. Hilton complements a Moncrief in that offense. They're not going to take from each other. I love Moncrief this year. I'm happy. I feel he's a WR2 posing.
And Indianapolis throws the ball a ton, so that's not something that you have to worry about. There's room for two viable fantasy wide receivers in the offense.
He's one of the best values in this draft this year. He's a guy that lets you be comfortable waiting on taking your third wide receiver, knowing that he's sitting there in the sixth round. Like, knowing that Moncrief is there, maybe you make a decision that, you know, somewhere earlier on, you kind of grab like a Matt Forte or some other quality running back because – you know, I can get my third wide receiver, you know, in the sixth round or in the fifth round in Moncrief. And you certainly even more hope that he drops to the seventh race.
Yeah, the later the later you can get Moncrief, the better.
With all players, but I mean, that guy on your bench is awesome. That's an awesome situation.
Okay, so we've got a couple running backs, we've got a couple wide receivers. Let's go to the next turn here. We're looking right around that late 70s, early 80s. We've got guys sitting there right now, the aforementioned Tyler Lockett. But there's some interesting options here because we've got guys like Frank Gore, Ameer Abdullah, Tyler Lockett, Melvin Gordon, and TJ Yeldon, all available here.
I mean, looking at this area, you're looking for upside. So who are my upside guys? Well, there's a few considerations. Number one, by the time you get to this point in your draft, you've filled out most of your starting positions. You might still need a quarterback. You're like, well, you know, Ben Roethlisberger's there. I'm thinking about it. But I'm probably looking at some – whenever there are upside position players – I'm always going to favor them over quarterbacks. So I'm looking at Ameer Abdullah. He doesn't have much competition in Detroit.
No, because what's his name was who's that other guy? It was a revolving door there.
No, the guy, Joique Bell, is gone. He's not even on that team anymore. So Joique Bell was the guy, but he's gone. Ameer, there are some other names there, but they're going to try to – listen, there's a reason he's 78. It's a risky pick. You don't know for sure he's going to be the full-time starter, but he's not a bad guy to put on your bench at this
point. It's his job to lose.
He's got high upside. Melvin Gordon is another guy. I mean, do I like him as a player? No. Do I want him on my team as my starter? Definitely not. But if you can get a starting running back
– RB2?
What's that?
A flex RB2 possibility?
You know, if need be. But, I mean, in the end of the day, he's a starting running back that you can get with the 80th pick in the draft. I mean, it's hard to
– there's value there.
TJ Yeldon didn't do well last year, but, you know, he's a star. Well, everybody's thinking they brought in Ivory and blah, blah, blah.
T.J. Yeldon, his problem was every time they got close to the end zone, they would throw it.
Yes.
You know?
Yes, interesting offense. He didn't.
They get where most teams are throwing it between the 20s and trying to run it in the goal line. That's not what Jacksonville was doing. They get down to the or they get down there and they're not running the ball.
That's all
they're throwing.
To me, it's nuts that T.J. Yeldon goes off in 84 and then Chris Ivory goes four picks later. Like, really? They're the same. Yeah. People don't know. Theo Riddick is the guy who's the competition.
That's the guy I was thinking.
But he's not good. He's not the guy that they want. If they wanted him as a full-time guy, they would use him for that. So I look for upside guys. One of the guys I have highlighted in this area. So here there's a couple of tight ends, you know, in this 80s to 90s range. You have Barndidge and Ladarius Green, both viable starting TE1s. Mm-hmm. Not the top of the group, but playable guys. If you haven't taken a tight end by now, you need to grab one of these guys. If not, you know, I'm looking at a guy like Corey Coleman.
I was just about to – I was hoping that you would say him. Why do you love Corey Coleman here so much?
So Coleman is one of these – I mean, he's a first-round draft pick on a team that has no wide receivers, certainly no quality ones. And
I was about to say, wait a second here.
There's a couple guys there, but, I mean, they're not good. And so I have this thought in my head of this memory of Josh Gordon kind of coming out of nowhere in his rookie year and being awesome. And Coleman, you know, Hopkins was really good in the second half. A lot of these rookie wide receivers, I mean, obviously Odell Beckham took the league by storm. So there's no reason to think that a fairly polished college wide receiver coming into great opportunity where there's not much competition, even though Cleveland doesn't really have a quarterback that I can name right now.
Robert Griffin III.
So yeah, they don't have a quarterback. But, you know, maybe he's not that terrible and maybe he can get the ball to Coleman. I don't know. I mean, at this point you're taking your second or third bench player. I'm looking for upside guys. A guy like Corey Coleman, he'd come on later in the season. And you'd be happy you had him on your bench. You know, there were other names in this area, but again, we're getting late in the draft. So at this point, I mean, you're looking for high upside guys. I like Darrell Green Beckham as a possibility.
EGB.
I mean, he's not good, but.
Oh, he didn't get the opportunities last year.
You know, he's had a year in the system. Maybe he comes, he was very raw.
Well, last year was his first year playing.
I'm not saying he's a bad player, actually. He was just
football.
A prospect. He was just.
Yeah, he was. Because the last year he was at Oklahoma, he was suspended because he had to sit out because of the transfer rules coming in from Missouri.
He's here from Oklahoma, that's why you're high on him.
Well, no, he never played a down for OU.
Oh, okay.
Never played a down because he transferred from Missouri. But I remember watching him at the University of Missouri and thinking, oh my God, this guy has got talent. And it's just a matter of could he keep his head on straight and actually, you know, do anything. I loved rostering DGB and GPPs last year in DFS because, in my opinion, he's got big play upside.
He didn't do it last year very much. But that offense is going to improve this year. Marcus Mariota's
second
year.
And I think that's another thing, is that offense is going to improve.
Yeah, this guy's in the second year. Marcus Wheaton's another guy. You know, Martavis Bryant is not coming back. So Ben Roethlisberger is not going to just throw to Antonio Brown. Marcus Wheaton is there. He looked much better last season, especially second half. And, you know, people are overlooking this guy. He's a great player for your bench. I mean, you'll start him – during the bye weeks, he'll give you 10, 12 points. He could put up 20 points. He's a nice player for this point in the draft where you're just kind of grabbing bench guys.
You're trying to fill out your roster.
A lot of this part of the draft is going to be about handcuffing too. Not enough people handcuff. In my notes here, I kind of point out a lot of these guys that are good handcuffs, and you want to grab these guys.
Sure,
if you have Freeman, you need to get Coleman on your team. If you have Bell – you must draft D'Angelo Williams. I guess see, there's a guy, CJ Proyce, so who apparently is the handcuff for Rolls.
I think the interesting one is going to be if you draft DeMarco Murray, getting Derrick Henry, because I think Derrick Henry, as preseason goes and he starts producing and stuff in that in preseason, because he's going to produce in preseason. You know, this guy is he's a good running back. He's, you know, a Heisman Trophy winner. I think as preseason goes, his ADP is going to start shooting up because people are going to be like, oh, it's going to be a RBBC there in Tennessee and all this other stuff. So I think it's important that if you do end up with DeMarco Murray on your draft or as a running back, that you grab Derrick Henry very, very quickly and you don't wait.
I mean,
as long
don't,
as you
don't
really
reach
would.
Like crazy, but make sure you got to make sure you get that guy on your team.
Right.
I don't think that Henry will replace Murray, but Murray can get injured. You know, anything
and
happens,
that's exactly and, why we think that you should handcuff. I'm a big proponent of handcuffing.
You got to. To play it smart, you should handcuff.
Yes.
The next little thing I'm going to kind of focus on, because at this point in the draft, there's a lot of crapshoots going on. Right? Yeah. You take who you want. Austin Seferian Jenkins, there he is. That's another guy. Hey, maybe he'll come on as a tight end. I mean, he's a TE too. I'd grab him. One of my favorite sleepers for this season is Chris Hogan. And he's the new wide receiver for the Patriots. He's a white guy. They love their sort of – they love that mold of their sort of I don't know what to say, man. They love those white wide receivers at the Patriots because they keep bringing them in, and they do well. You know, you had Edelman. You had Welker. You had Amendola, who was just okay. But, I mean, it's been a constant stream. They gave up a little something. They signed Chris Hogan off of Hogan was pretty decent with the Bills. I mean, I've seen – you know, as an AFC East guy, I've seen this guy play. And, you know, I don't know who he reminds me of. He was fine with the Bills. He was probably the Bills' best wide receiver, you know, before Sammy Watkins got there. So – they didn't use him much, but I think Belichick knows who he's looking at. He's got him penciled in as a starter. This guy's going off the board. 160 meaning literal the last of your bench spots. Why not? Why not grab this guy? I think he will actually be a WR3 this season. Like, I think he will be a guy that you can start.
Okay. Let me ask you about some sleepers at the running back position. What are you kind of thinking there?
I mean, again, we're going back. We've talked about
that we could and I'm talking like not like, you know, rookies that aren't proven. I'm talking like sleepers that are still viable starters that you think could have breakout years.
I mean, again,
where they're kind of being undervalued.
That's Ryan Matthews really is a big one. Amir Abdullah is a guy that I'm going to take a chance on later in the draft. But I really like Ryan Matthews. If I had to choose a number one, we talked about some of the other names like Matt Jones. Duke Johnson is a possibility if he kind of gets a bigger workload. I avoid the RBBCs. So, you know, the Bernards, the Jeremy Hills, I don't like players like that. But,
Tavius Murray?
Lats Murray, I think, is going to be a disappointment. I actually think Murray, he's on my red list. I mean, he's a starter, but he's terrible last year, and I'm just not convinced that he's good. So, no, I will not be taking Latavius Murray where he's at, but I if I had to choose one, I'd say Ryan Matthews would be my number one guy.
Let me ask you, because I'm a Dallas Cowboys fan, and we're talking running backs, so you know where I'm going with this.
Yeah, Zeke.
What do you think? Where is a good – because I honestly think that Zeke would probably be my number three behind Gurley and Bell.
I'm still taking David Johnson over him, but Adrian Peterson – I'm not taking Ezekiel Elliott over Adrian Peterson. My main concern with – he's in a great spot. The only real thing that gives me reason for pause is the guy's a rookie. He's never done it. And quite honestly, the most important thing to me is I never know with these rookies if they can catch the ball. if they can pass block.
Well, Zeke, well, that's the big one, is the pass block. But Zeke did catch the ball at Ohio State.
But can he pass protect? I don't know. I got to wait for the buzz out of camp. I got to hear more.
Oh, I'll give you the buzz out of camp.
Give me the buzz. Yeah, I mean, that you have to follow stuff like that, and I just don't know yet. He's a rookie. We're not – just because I'm researching and paying very close attention to fantasy football, no one knows what this guy is going to do. I haven't seen him play. I haven't seen what the coaching staff has in mind for him. So I'm nervous about taking a guy like that in the first round. I remember a couple of years ago when everybody took Monty Ball in the first round. He got screwed.
Yeah.
And so, you know, I definitely have some – concerns about a rookie going that high in the draft. He's never shown that he could do anything in the NFL. And again, even if he does, could he be a Melvin Gordon, where they just run him on first and second down, and they bring in, you know, Lance Dunbar or Darren McFadden as the third down pass protector / check down guy. If I'm not getting those checkdown
points, that's big thing, because you said a name that is extremely important that Cowboy fans know, but fantasy football fans need to not forget, is Lance Dunbar. Coming off that ACL injury, he should be ready for the start of the season. He's going to be the if you draft Ezekiel Elliott, he's going to be the immediate handcuff out of the gate, rather than Darren McFadden, because McFadden's probably not going to be ready by the start of the season.
There you go. So, I mean, you know, there are some things there. There are concerns. All that said, you know, do I have a problem with somebody taking – like, on my chart here, Elliott is ahead of Allen Robinson and Lamar Miller. Mm-hmm. I personally am taking Allen Robinson and Lamar Miller ahead of Ezekiel Elliott. I like those guys.
Yeah, maybe I'm an overzealous Cowboys fan in that aspect.
You can't let your fandom affect the team that you're choosing. You know, I used to do that, and then – as you know, Gronk is my favorite player. I'm a Jets fan.
And that was how we're going to wrap it up. Why in the
All right. We're going to talk some Gronk. Because, yes,
yeah,
we have
We're going to talk some Gronk
so
here.
So when you're looking at my notes, you see the ultimate shocker is that Gronk is in red. Like, why is Gronk in red? I'm obsessed with Gronk. I love this guy. Here's the thing. I can't advocate taking a Gronkowski, number 10 pick, first round of the draft this season, considering that the drop-off on the tight end position just is not as dramatic as it's been in the past. There were years, last year I was singing the praises of Gronk at the end of the first, because going into the, after Gronk, it was Olsen and, you know, these other guys hadn't broken out. Like, where you think Kelsey, we kind of thought maybe he'd be okay. No one thought that Reed was just an afterthought. You know, a lot of these guys emerged during the season last year. So what has transpired is I think the mob has not caught on to the fact that even without Gronk, I can put a really quality player in my tight end slot that's going to give me a lot of points every week. Delanie Walker. So undervalued. That dude was a beast last year. He's probably so consistent. Mariota loves him. Reed, pound for pound, that dude is putting up crazy points. And if he stays healthy, so as much as I love Gronk, and no one loves Gronk more than me.
And if you don't think that's true, you have a – if for those that are new to the DFS Army, if you don't think that there is anybody else on this work Earth that loves Gronk more than Kevin, just wait. Because when Gronk has his first 2-touchdown game, it's we've got some great memes that we're going to be posting all over the place.
I mean, now understand, part of my thing is like, I just want to hang out with him. Dude seems awesome. So it's not that as a football
Gronk
player,
would be
I
great
just
for
like,
a bachelor
like I, in my mind, we'd be buds if we met. Like, and we'd be like, yeah, you know, we'd be friends and we'd be hanging out. Now, I think that's me thinking of myself in my college way of being.
In your college rapping days?
Yeah, in my college days. You know, it's drinking and partying. We'd fit in just fine. We'd get along just great in those days. Now it's not so exciting. But in my mind, I think we'd be buds. But that said, I am not taking Gronk this season. in the first round of the draft, when I can get a Jordan Reed in the third, I can get a Olsen and, you know, Delanie Walker and some of the other guys in the fourth, fifth round that I like. So no, you gotta avoid him. Let somebody else take him that early. I will take Allen Robinson. I will take Lamar Miller. I will take Keenan Allen, Adrian Peterson, David Johnson, whoever's available in that spot. That's a position that of scarcity. I'm going to take that over a Gronk, who, as much as I love him as a player, is just not worth a first-round pick to me this season. Now, luckily, I have Gronk on my dynasty team, so I will get to enjoy cheering for him, regardless of the fact that he won't be on any of my probably will not make his way onto any of my redraft leagues just because his ADP is too high for me to.
But you can bet he's going to be 80% owned in Geeks Fantasy DFS League teams.
He will show up on many of my cash lineups in daily this season. And that's, you know, so yeah, one of the nice things about DFS is, you know, I don't need to draft my season-long team based on, like, guys I want to root for. I'm drafting the best team, and, you know, I'll get to root for my guys because they'll be on my daily teams. So yep. I'm always rooting for these guys, no matter what.
Yeah, and we will have plenty of DFS content coming to you for NFL as well. One thing I will kind of say, and I want to get your opinion on it because it's going to be that kind of the transition, is when there's this opinion that, you know, you've got this quarrel going on between season long and DFS. You know, the older generation is season long and they hate the DFS community and, you know, all this other stuff. And I'm a firm believer that playing season long or seasonal or redraft helps you become a better DFS player and vice versa.
Hell yeah. I don't even know why there would be a discussion about that. Of course,
And there shouldn't be.
Playing a season, by the way, and this, so speaking to the DFS Army team, our readers, our blog people, and all of that, you should be. If you're playing daily fantasy sports and you like daily fantasy football, and we're doing FanDuel and DraftKings, and I'm giving, you know, we're doing what we do, right? You need to be in these season long leagues. You get a flavor for every player. You get the flavor of the players when you're in season long. You're watching them. You're paying. You have a guy over the course of the season. You know, you get a sense of which guys are consistent, which guys are not. I mean, part of the reason why I don't really do – like, I don't do – if I played NBA and MLB, if those were my DFS sports, I don't play a ton of either one of those. But if they were, I would want to have season-long leagues also. I want to learn all of the player names. I want to know – all the details. You don't get that unless you're a research. Like in NFL, part of draft research is really learning all of the players. You learn their names, what team, you know, who's good, who's bad, where they're ranked. This is key. I think you got to be nuts not to play season long if you're going to want to be successful at daily fantasy football.
And I 100% agree. And what makes it even better is the fact that, you know, when you're doing your DFS research and you're looking for those GPP sleepers and stuff like that, you know, the first thing you should do is, oh my gosh, this slot wide receiver's got a great matchup. He's a good spot. Go look and see if he's in your season long league. And, you know, if you've got kind of a questionable position, and you're able to snatch him up and insert him in there because of bye weeks or whatever, you'd be surprised how many times you can steal a win based on your DFS research.
Absolutely. 100%. It made me better. Listen, I started out, why did I even ever get into FanDuel? I love fantasy football. I play it. I had a lot of leagues. I used to win it a lot. I was like the best in my –
and I think that's where, going back to the root of it, I think that's why we all got into it.
Yeah.
You know, because we were, you know, for me it was, okay, I saw a commercial, yeah, but I wouldn't have even thought twice if I wasn't absolutely just completely dominating my home leagues.
That's what I'm saying, you know, yeah. I mean, that kind of gives you an idea of if you're going to be good. Like, you should be able to do really well in your season-long leagues. Now, again, the skill set is not exactly the same, and people do really well – like, with quantitative things, and we're bringing some new tools to the DFS Army that are going to be awesome for this season too, quantitatively, and just wait. But
oh yeah,
it is very, very important that you know the player name. Like, part of the reason I don't like to play NBA is I don't really know
you
the players.
Know
I
yeah, exactly.
I can research it, but it takes me a ton of time to research when I don't really have a good sense of the players and I haven't watched a lot of the games. I think that, yeah, we love our daily fantasy sports and it's the best, and it's definitely more exciting and there's more money on the line. But I was telling somebody today, listen, my ROI is much, much higher for season long fantasy football than it would ever be for daily fantasy, just because, you know, my ROI is ridiculous. It's like in the thousands mm-hmm. of percent. Last year I probably won more money in my five fantasy leagues than I did. Well, I'm not going to say more money, but it was by percentage.
Your ROI was
by percentage,
probably greater.
Monstrously greater. I mean, $600 in and like thousands and thousands of dollars out from winning. Now, I happen to win a bunch of them being high on DeAndre Hopkins and Allen Robinson last season when no one else was very helpful as I had them on all of my teams. This year I have some guys like that too, and that's what the notes that I posted are all about. Listen, these are the actual notes that I'm using in my draft. Okay.
Mm-hmm. And these will update for those that don't know. These will, as we get more information, I say this like I'm a part of your decision making, Kevin. As Kevin gets more information, these will be updated. So keep checking back as your drafts get closer. It's going to be one of those things that is absolutely phenomenal. For those of you that don't know, I do this for a living. You know, I have a son now, and I stay at home and watch him, and I'm privileged enough to be good enough in NBA and MLB to be able to do this. For those of you that don't know, I default to I do some of my own research, but a lot of my research as far as fantasy football comes straight from Kevin. So I've used him now for the last 3 years. I've been privileged enough to actually join the DFS Army, and I wouldn't have it any other way. So he's who I do default to for my NFL knowledge. So
thank you. And yeah,
you didn't know that, did you?
Well, I like to think so. I like to think everybody who's in our group at some point or another, or most of them, were reading the columns that I've been putting out for many, many years now. I do think a lot of people did come in for that. And you know, on the same flip side, part of the reason why I'm not here talking about NBA or MLB or the sports that you guys are good at is because listen, that's not what I'm good at. I don't feel comfortable giving advice if I don't really have an in-depth knowledge of the sport. So, you know, part of what we did with the DFS Army and with the website, and certainly with our Slack and our team and our membership, everything like that was, listen, I want to have people who really, really know their stuff, on all of the sports. And, you know, that's where you came in for NBA and MLB and our team of guys that handle some of the other sports too. And it's just not what I do. You know, this is what I do. So, I always say, you sound a little jerky, but stick with me, follow my lead. You'll do well in your draft. You'll do well in your season long. Now, I'm sorry I put this out ahead of our own, but I can't keep information out from the public. I am very happy to sort of put my info out there and then take on some of our own crew and our own internal league that we'll do. And hopefully you guys will not be trying to outsmart me by trying to, you know, not use this list and kind of do your own thing. That would be a mistake. Stick with what I'm telling you. You'll do well in your draft and then re-up for the 2016 season. It's going to be bigger and better than ever. I've got a bunch of tools coming out that we didn't have last season that are going to be amazing. We're going to do the same stuff with my player picks. We're going to do hopefully a podcast just for VIP members. So it's going to be a great season. I'm really looking forward to it. And I appreciate kind of getting this chance to talk about the season-long draft a little bit. I'm excited for it.
Yeah, it's going to be a great NFL season. I can't wait. I've still got MLB that we're going through, but NFL's here. It's right around the corner, and like we said, if you start your research in August, then you're probably going to lose. So
get ready. Get ready, baby.
Yep,
that's right.
Absolutely.
And you're right. Yeah, my notes will update as new information becomes available. So I'm
like today's Arian Foster.
Yeah, I haven't gotten to the Ajayi yet and updating that one, but obviously I will. I'm bouncing up a little bit on Amir Abdullah, where I think he's kind of becoming to me a really spectacular value where he's going. So there are some things that I'm updating, but for the most part that will happen. And then I may, you know, as ADPs change, which is something that's difficult for me to update just on the sheet dynamically, I may sort of redo something in the next month or so where we kind of redo it and see where the ADPs are and kind of get a sense of, you know, closer to when people really start drafting, which is more going to be in late August. We'll do another one like this and see kind of where things are falling at that time.
Yep, absolutely. So, Kevin, it's been a pleasure. It's been an absolute blast. I know we've got a lot more information to keep getting out there, and we could probably talk for 4 or 5 hours just on fantasy football alone. But alas, we both have wives that we have to get to and families. So it's great talking to you, man.
Sounds good, man. I will talk to you again soon. Take care, everybody. Kick some ass, and I'll see you in the lobby.